How are you all doing? Well, Charlotte took a trip. Do I look okay this morning? I put all the clothes on the bed, took a picture with my phone, sent it to her. I said, that's what I'm wearing. She said, looks good. So, got her approved. Isn't it amazing what modern technology can do? You never know. I want to talk to you this morning about Christ and what he means in our salvation, what we have in him. There's no man that sinneth not. There's none of us that is as close to the Lord all the time as we ought to be. And many of us make mistakes. And Satan loves coming along with those times in our life and making accusations. But by way of introduction, one of the verses out of the ones that we read there, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we think of our duties to thee, and we think of that song that has such catchy phrases, that says, have I done all I should do in the time that he gave me? We know many of us seem to be given more time on the earth than others. We don't have any quick answers for that. We know Jesus only lived till he was 33, and when he hung on that cross, he cried, it is finished. Lord, help us to finish the race. As Paul said when he was nearing his death, I've run the race. I've finished my course. Help us to finish with victory. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have these blessed promises of God. When things look bad, when things get downhearted, when things seem to be coming apart a little bit, or maybe a whole lot in some of our cases, in different areas of our life. But we got to remember, number one, that Christ is the one that builds the church. Christ is the one that builds the church. He said to Peter, I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And notice in that Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waiteth in vain. It's not you, it's not me. Of course God uses us, but if we're not willing, and we talked a lot in the Sunday school class this morning about pride, it's very easy to get pride. You see many large churches, and they'll say, Memorial Church to Preacher So-and-so, he built this church. Wow. Where was the Lord at? What did the Lord have to do with it? We have to be very careful about that and make sure that it's God using us to build his house, to make it happen. All the host of hell cannot prevail against us. They can't destroy it. We worry about things our government and other people are doing. I think about those poor people in Ukraine. What's happening to their churches and their hospitals? What's going to become of that? I don't know. But I know God's promises are sure. I know he doesn't lie. I know he doesn't make a mistake. So we trust him and keep praying and believing in him, that except the Lord build the house, it's no good anyway if God's not in it. After the crucifixion and the resurrection, Christ had gone back and the disciples were trying to do what Jesus said. Peter and John went into the temple, and there was a crippled man laid at the door with his pan in front of him. And he said, give me something. Peter said, silver and gold, such as I have, I not to give you, but what I give you in the name of Christ. Rise up and walk. And he got up and walked. It created a big stir. And the Sanhedrin was meeting again. There was one wise man on that group. He said, listen, I tell you what. He said, if the Lord is in this thing, we can't stop it. And if he's not in it, it's not going to amount to anything anyway. That's pretty good wisdom, isn't it? To make sure. And we'll talk about that a little more later. But Satan cannot destroy. That's a promise from God. Now, Satan knows that the church is not this building. This church is the lives that come to this building. And Satan uses weapons. Satan knew the key to destroying God's creation was the first man and the first woman. And he knew how to get in the weakest part and destroy it. And his weapons that he uses, and if we've been around a while, we know them. The first thing he likes to do is deceive us. Deceive us into believing that God didn't really mean what he said. That God isn't really good to us. That God's withholding from us. God's keeping something back. He likes to get that weapon and that voice and that tune in your ear, in your heart, to distract you and keep you from being what you ought to be. Paul warned us in Ephesians. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And if you read that chapter, we'll not do that this morning, but if you read that, he says, put it on. Prepare for that time when Satan is coming. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That sentence tells us that Satan's going to come after us. He's going to come after us. He wants you. He wants to destroy you. You're one of God's children. He wants to disrupt God's house, God's church, and wants people to say, oh, if that person's a Christian, I sure don't want to be one. Ruin your testimony. That's what he's after. Try to stop it. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt with the simplicity that is in Christ. What do I do when I mess up, Pastor Hodge? You come and ask God to forgive you. And if it has to do with some person, you ask them to forgive. That old thing we studied about this morning, pride doesn't want you to do that. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. That's why we open the altar up every service. If I've done something wrong, I need to get on my knees and tell God. Tell it to Jesus. Tell him. There's somebody sang a chorus. When I mess up, go tell Jesus on me. Don't tell other people. Did you see what so-and-so did? Or did you hear what so-and-so did? Go tell Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He likes to do that to discourage us. Get us discouraged. Oh, I can't do this. Might as well not even go to church. Might as well not even pray. Might as well not even read my Bible. It's no use. It's not working. He likes that weapon of discouragement after he deceives us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. That's why we get that whole armor, breastplate of righteousness, shield, to shield off the fiery darts of Satan as he attacks us with the imps from hell, sends his demons out to disrupt you in your life and say, well, God don't answer prayer. My child died. My husband died. My wife died. God didn't answer prayer. It's just a big game. It doesn't last. The devil knows how to discourage you. He wants to disrupt and destroy. In 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober. That means be watchful. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the same enemy of us all, he likes to get us one against the other, fighting each other. His real aim is to destroy us. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seek whom he may devour. He knows how to get the fight going. He knows how to get the disrupt going, the deception and all of it. He knows where to plant it. He knows where to stop you in your tracks so you can't do what God called you to do. I messed up, so I can't do it. I messed up my life. I messed it up. I did wrong. Well, tell God. What does he do? Listen, brother, sister, the only thing and the only cure for your mistakes, my mistakes, is the blood of Christ. And when we do that, and Satan in the book of Revelation says he walks in, what about this? What about that? Jesus says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They're gone, gone, gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Praise God, that's good enough for me. God takes care of the sin when we do the confessing. He has another weapon that he uses. False teachers and brothers. They know how to sneak in. Paul told us unawares. Slip in a little bit of time in the church, in our life. They want to get false rumors started, false doctrines started. Well, what about this? I heard you're supposed to get baptized 3 times. I heard you didn't have to do that. He knows how to get the movement working against us, to destroy us. Well, I heard so-and-so wasn't in church last Sunday, and they were out playing golf or whatever. Anything to upset the church and the being of the people in the church and keep the rumors going, keep the disruption going. Never let it quiet down. In 2 Corinthians 11:13, Paul warned about it. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Oh yeah, you gotta go to church on Saturday. That's the Sabbath day. When they don't know what they're talking about, anything to disrupt Seventh Day Adventist or something else. We're not celebrating the Sabbath. Jesus took the sabbatical laws and fulfilled them on Calvary, and we're celebrating his resurrection. He arose. He's alive forevermore. We don't have to go and do that Jewish tradition of keeping the law. And he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He was once a beautiful angel there in heaven, walked up and down the streets of gold, angels, at least one-third of them, following after him, thinking he was something. And when God kicked him out, those angels went with him. They're now the demons of hell with him. And they know how to get to you. They know how to disrupt. And then we see the battle is not ours, but God's. I repeat that verse again. Except the Lord fill the house. Come, Jesus, build your church. Come, Jesus, make me what you want me to be. Mold me and make me. And when God's making you, we know sometimes it gets pretty rough. I don't know. I know very little about pruning trees. Some of you might, about that time of the year. First time I saw somebody pruning the trees, I thought they were going to kill it. No, they're not going to kill it. They're pruning it, cutting away the dead stuff, bringing out the live stuff, so it'll produce more and more. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 15. He wants us to bring forth more fruit. So he's going to prune us. Sometimes that's pretty rough. We don't like that pruning. But God's doing it for the purpose of making you better, so you'll do more and produce more fruit for him. He builds, except the Lord build the house. In 1 Samuel 17:47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give unto you our hands. The Lord uses to get what he wants. And he uses the Trinity. The Bible tells us, Jesus spoke of it, that he places us in his hand. He puts that hand in the hand of God. Paul says, we're now sealed by the Holy Spirit. What can get to us? The blessed Holy Trinity of God holds us spotless before any judgment, any accusation of Satan. We're clean. We have a part. Of course, we have to drag these old bodies around till we get rid of them and get that new body and that new hope. He defends with it. Paul tells us how good our salvation is in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon, means I know it's sure. I reckon it to be so. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen to that. For the Lord your God, it is he that giveth, that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and save you. God will be there. God will help you. And that makes sure that we're on the winning side. More of that Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death. Oh, they died. If they died a Christian, they're so much better off. They're enjoying. We got the sadness. We got the hurt. And someday we'll go too, unless the rapture comes. That's what I'm looking for. How about you? I'm waiting for the rapture. I think it's coming soon. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you know God loves you? Did you know Jesus loves you? And Satan is jealous of that love, because Satan once had that in glory, but he was kicked out because he tried to dethrone God. God's not going to let anything happen to you but what he won't be there with you and guide you through it. He'll either carry you over the mountain or he'll climb with you. One way or the other, God will take you through. We got these sure promises of God. Our duty is just to trust and believe. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. We're not condemned. We're not condemned when we make a mistake. He's already taken care of it. He's already taken care of that. No need, no more, no sickness, no hardness, no accusation from false brothers. Nothing. Nothing that we've done can prevent us from being separated from the love of God. Last thoughts about fighting the devil. The Bible says, James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We should do that every Lord's Day. We should do it every day when we get up. Lord, help me read this scripture. Lord, help me be guided this day. Lord, take me through my trials and tribulations. Submit yourselves to God. Then he says, resist the devil. You're no match to resist the devil without God. You need God. The devil's much more powerful than us. That's why we need to submit to God. We submit to God so that he'll take care of us and fight the devil for us. We need to send, when we know the devil's knocking at our door, we need to send Christ to the door. Let him answer the doors for us. When we know that temptation is coming to us, that to do something or say something, we say, no, I'm not going to do it. Let God handle it. Let God handle it. Sometimes I get in this rut, maybe you do. I get my mouth in gear before my brain is engaged. Do you do that? Say things that you ought to say. You think, wow, I shouldn't have even said that. I marvel that when Jesus was being tried by Pilate, they were making all these accusations. He claims to be God. He's no good, blah, blah, blah. Pilate turned to Jesus and said, don't you have anything to say against all this? And the Bible says he marveled that Jesus spoke not a word. He didn't say a thing in his defense. We were talking about pride in Sunday school. That was an example of true humility. And the Bible says he humbled himself even to the cross. He humbled himself. Can I do that? Can you do that? Let Christ be seen in our life. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. How can I get close to God? Get with people that are close to God. Read your Bible. Pray. Be in the church. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You got to understand, God knocks at your door. God's not a bully crashing the door saying, let me in. He waits patiently. In your hour of temptation, in your hour when you know the devil is fighting you, accusing you of something, and he's waiting for you to come, say, come in, Lord. Help me, Lord. I can't handle this on my own. I need your strength. I need your help. I need you to guide me through this terrible war. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Get your hands on the good book. Get your hands on the good book. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's another verse in James that says, double-minded people are unstable in all their ways. Oh, I think I'll do this. No, I think I'll do that. No, maybe I'll do this. And they never get nothing done. The best way to start any task, any job, any commitment you make is by the Word of God. Say, God, first show me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Show me. I don't want to make a decision, God, unless you're showing me. And if you show me, then help me do this. And I promise you, God will be there. He will draw nigh with you. He will carry you through. My child, I'll carry you all the way. We have the greatest God. There's none other. We have the sure promises. So no reason to be downcast. No reason to worry. No reason to fret. He's on our side. We're on the winning side. He's been on the winning side all along. We need to get on the winning side. Amen? Is the devil fighting you? Is he giving you trouble? Come to the altar. Tell him. Tell God. Are you weary? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Let's stand for a prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we come to Thee this morning asking You to defend us against the wiles of the devil. Lord, the devil likes to talk. The devil likes to say things. He likes to make accusations. He likes to do like he did with Job. Look at Job. Just take away some of his stuff, and then he'll curse you and die, God. Oh, and then his wife came to him in his trying hour. Job, you might as well give up. You might as well quit. And Job wouldn't do it. Thank us. Help us, Lord. To be one among us this morning that's not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ. You need to come. Well, the piano plays softly for a moment. Would you come and say, Jesus, help me. Help me. Or right there in your seat. Whatever your need is. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Turn it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. One day, you will give an account of this service, and one day I will. Did you tell them, Pastor Hodge? I did my best, Lord. Thank you. Well, I was nervous. I was afraid people would wonder what I'd done. Don't listen to the voices of the devil. Listen to Jesus. Come, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, extend even further for you to come.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee. Jesus is waiting, oh come to Him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at His feet, lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to His voice. Hear Him today, hear Him today. They who believe on His name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away. Calling to
For coming today. Good to see all of you. Have a nice day. I don't think you'll need your snow shovel, but you might need another coat. It's getting a little cold out there, right? Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed. Brother Paul, would you have a closing prayer, please?